John Wainwright, beginning a visit with George Wild and Wade this Sunday, the 5th of May, 74. John Wainwright, and the beginning a visit with George Wild and Wade this Sunday, the 5th of May, 74. John Wainwright, and the beginning a visit with George Wild and Wade this Sunday, the 5th of May, 74. John Wainwright, and the beginning a visit with George Wild and Wade this Sunday, the 5th of May, 74.
The haircut I gave myself.
Well,
I just took the shears and razor and went away.
Did you have a mirror?
Yeah, I was looking in the mirror, but I missed a lot that I couldn't see. Oh, man.
Well, let me tell you. What I need is take a lesson, because I don't get a haircut regularly either.
I'm damned. You see, you give them $3 for a haircut now, and you give them a buck tip, and it's $4 when you get through.
God almighty. Is it $3 for a haircut?
$3 where I live. For a haircut.
I gotta behave when I go with Mr. Weaver's, haven't I?
I quit at $1.25. I cut my own hair for $6.62.
Yeah,
you do?
Sure.
In the back?
Everywhere. I can feel it. If it feels long, I cut it off.
Well, that's about what I done. I done a pretty good job. I got a lot of it off. But the shears I got's about that long. That's what makes it hard.
You get some cheap shears, good
shears. Let me
tell you, George, this whole book is on the Merchant Marine.
Mm.
It's a story.
Yeah.
It's called The Sun's Goal.
The Sun's Goal.
It's just it's supposed to be a novel, but it's not. It's just a documentary. And now he was in the Merchant Marine, but I don't know, you see, because what he tells me don't jive with what you tell me.
Yeah. Well, I seen that picture once. What the hell? Who played in that? Played as a boatswain on a merchant ship, and he was given all the orders of captains, and nobody had no business there but him. And he was a boatswain. What the heck was his name? Clark Gable in that movie.
I don't know,
picture.
Joe, if Faye, what
boy,
you're talking about.
Boy, that was the funniest picture I ever seen.
No, I'd like to get rid of you.
Him up there giving all the orders of, like nobody else was there but the boatswain on the ship.
He was the head man.
Yeah, that was what it looked like. I got the biggest kick out of that.
Well, now what's the boatswain for? He ain't that far up?
Yeah, he's supposed to run the AB's able seamen while you're coming in and out of port and all the painting and ship's work, like they have to fix ropes and stuff like that. He has to do all that. But to be the real big shot is...
That's what give him an ashtray, guy. Or just use a saucer.
Yeah, thank you. Oh.
We don't have ashtrays. That's one of Faye's ideas. She's never had ashtrays. Even when I used to smoke, she didn't.
So what is this guy? Is he an officer on the ship or what?
I don't know what he was. He was just learning.
Learning.
he wasn't in the merchant marine long.
Mm.
And then he got to be in the Air Corps, and now this part I can understand. He's got a section in here where they're in the war zone.
Yeah.
But I won't go into that. And they have a play. Oh, I don't want to go into that, John. I'll let you take it home, Peggy, and read it.
Yeah, I'd get a kick out of it, maybe.
Yeah. The bosun, but the bosun is he orders people around.
Yeah, he's just one rate above an able-bodied seaman.
Oh, he is.
Yeah.
Well, I thought he was like a. Wait a minute now.
In the Navy,
chief petty officer.
Huh?
I thought he was a chief petty officer.
Well, in the Navy, they're a chief petty officer, yeah. But on a merchant ship, they're just a plain old boatswain. They have a chief petty officer's mess that he eats in with the other chief petty officers,
yeah.
Like fourth engineers and things like that.
Is that what you were?
Huh?
You was a boatswain?
No, I was a first engineer.
First engineer.
How long was you a first engineer, John?
Oh, Jesus, I'd have to look at my license. I don't know about...
Long time?
Yeah, quite a while.
When did you go in? Around 1930?
Oh, no, I went in long before that.
25?
Yes, I was only 14 when I first went into the merchant service.
Well, let me see, you just...
I was really 13 because I was shoveling coal on one of the old Yankee Line ships when I was 13.
Wait a minute. You was 14, 24.
Yeah.
You went in around 1924.
Yeah, I think it was a little before then.
Closer to 20?
1908, let's see.
1908.
Shit.
What month?
10 is 18. Yeah, I guess it was around 25 or so.
18.
Yeah.
22.
Yeah, 22.
Well, anyhow, it was in the 20s, early 20s.
Mm.
Just 14.
Yeah.
So you were, and you was in it regular from then.
Yeah. I remember I came back from, with Cal Hagenbach's circus there on one trip. We brought in the Yankee Line. My stepfather was waiting on the dock to drag me home. To shove off.
That was when you were 14.
Yeah.
Now, what was that?
I turned 14,
John,
then.
John.
Hmm?
What was that?
My stepfather was waiting on the dock to make me go home.
He didn't want you in the merchant marine.
He drove me away from home, and then I wrote a letter. I was coming back. You know, I made a mistake of writing from Germany. I was coming back. He told him all how young I was and all that shit, but I made the next trip on that ship.
On that same ship?
Yeah. Yep, it's a kid and nothing. Amen. We come in loaded with lions, snakes, polar bears, and everything that trip. I'll never forget that. At nighttime, them damn polar bears, they raise hell all night long. I used to get a stick and run along the cages. Whack, whack, whack. Used to stir them up. I didn't like them polar bears. You couldn't tame them things, sadly. Though I heard them ice skating and stuff, but I couldn't believe it. And neat. God damn, you could throw a half a horse in there and they'd swallow that up.
Good God,
my. Whole leg of a horse. Chew it up.
Feed them horse meat.
Yeah. That old Cal Hagenbach sure had a lot of animals in them days.
Yeah, did you see him?
No, I never ran into him. But
he probably wasn't there.
Yeah, 10 to 1. He was over Switzerland or someplace having the ball.
But you never got into a circus yourself.
Oh, and the only thing I ever done in a circus was I helped feed the water the elephants one time. I got out of that. That was too back-breaking, too. I'd done that when I was a kid.
What'd you have to do?
Bring pails of water. You had these big tanks. You go and keep lugging them back and forth. I said, to hell with this. After I brought about 40 or 50 pails, I said, to hell with them elephants.
And they're still drinking?
And they would go give me a ticket to see the show. I didn't want that ticket.
Well, you wasn't working there. You just...
Yeah, they used to get come into Boston there. They had this big circus grounds. Now it's all changed there. They don't have it anymore. And they put up there, well, right on Huntington Avenue. I'll never forget that.
Give them some water.
I think I'll grab a cup of that coffee if it's hot.
I would tell you, though, you said, yeah, we got some beer in there.
I ain't going to touch no beer until I get that thing done.
And we got water and coffee. And don't stand on ceremony or sit
okay.
on it. That's most of your stuff. That put those on.
This is coffee here.
Okie doke. I'll get a cup of that.
They didn't have any...
That's hot water. I was going to drink it.
It's plenty of cold.
No, I just want a little coffee.
They didn't have any age regulations when you were in, went into the emergency.
Oh, yeah, you wasn't supposed to be in there at that age. They'd look at you before they signed you. I mean, them days you never needed any birth certificate or nothing.
In the 20s.
I know, I don't know where the hell I put the top.
Oh, what difference it make?
That's all right.
Oh, there it is.
Gee whiz. And that bosun, you was right under the bosun. He ordered you around in them days.
Sure as hell didn't. Oh, and them days if I sailed on up on the decky, the bosun would order me around. In them days.
Well, that's a good long while after you got onto it, started in. The bosun was the old head man.
Yeah, when I'd sail on deck.
What else could you sail on?
Thank Christ, I sailed about everything on the ship. Ordinary seamen.
Ain't an ordinary seamen on the deck?
Yeah. And I'd sail down below and oil a fireman.
Is that, ain't he under the bosun? No, he's under the engineer.
Wipers and firemen, they're down below.
They're on the engineer.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, it took me, I think, until 1928 when I first got my engineer's papers.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I got one of the oldest licenses there is, I guess.
Oh, really? Yeah. Right when they started.
Not when they started, the mission was going on before I was born.
They started on papers.
Yeah. Now I got the first license I got off of the Department of Commerce.
Yeah.
And then they turned around just before the Second World War and turned it over to Coast Guard.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So in all your travels,
when I went up to get my first license, I had to go through them. I passed that easy enough. I passed it in about 2.5 days, and they told me, don't you ever do that again. When you come here, you sat. I only had one more license to go, and I never bothered with that because I made more money than that man made, chief engineer.
Yeah.
Because the company used to rule them practically.
All right. Is that right?
Mm. Yeah. When a chief gets on a ship, he usually stays there. Then he becomes a company stooge. He can't make no overtime or anything like that, only shift and ship. He gets allowed a little money for that on different shifts.
He has to stick there on that ship, and just wherever it goes, he goes.
Yep. They sure, unless he got enough guts to get the hell off of there and sail his first assistant on some other ship.
That's what you were.
Yeah. I come in on the Corian run there and Christ, I paid off with so much that chief engineer was mad as hell at me.
And he didn't get all that.
Hell no. I had overtime for every time I turned my hand. He couldn't put it in.
And he didn't get any overtime.
Yeah, he just got it when they shifted ship in and out of dock. And he was always sitting in his room. Never down below anyways, but he'd get paid for so much for that overtime during the shifting hours.
What's shifting?
Like you're coming in and out of port.
Well, I'll swear. Well, you did pretty well then as engineer.
Yeah.
You didn't have to do anything much.
Oh, well, when I was the third engineer and second engineer, I had to do a hell of a lot than when I became first engineer, because the first engineer runs the third engineer, the chief runs the second. The first runs the whole plant down below.
Uh-huh.
And the chief stays up in his room unless something happens. I had more trouble with chiefs than you could shake a stick at. If one come running down below, I tell him, now, do you want to take over the goddamn job or do I do it?
Is that right?
Yeah.
So he has to stay. You make him stay up there.
Practically, I did.
Well, what did he do, George?
He just, he stays up in his room and keeps track of everything the crew does down below, the work and stuff, and usually I'd order supplies for the ship, but they'd have to go through him, and he'd okay them and all that stuff.
He's an office man.
Yeah, just about. But he had to gradually come up the same way.
Yeah.
As third engineer, second, sometimes they can jump a grade, and then first and chief.
Yeah. If somebody likes them, they can jump a grade.
Yeah. If they got enough time and everything, and they can sit down and pass them exams.
Oh, I see.
With them exam, I couldn't go through them again myself. My mind ain't that way anymore. Christ, you'd have to go through all the tensile strength of metal and boilers and, man.
Oh, you mean it's real technical?
Oh, yeah. Christ, I had to study for so long, I pretty nearly lost what little brains I had. And after it was all over, there's nothing I'd ever use, but the Coast Guard makes you do that. You've got to even know the tensile strength of goddamn boilers and, oh, man, it's crazy. If I ever had to sit down and do them problems again, I'd blow my whole lid.
Right? You had a book with them in it?
Hmm?
You had a book?
Yeah, I'd have to go and get all these books and study them night and day, then go up and sit for that license. I pretty nearly went out of my mind. But I passed every test.
And then you celebrated.
Hmm? Yeah, I'd go out in the drunk. Say, well, I got that much more pay coming in, I ain't spend it.
Now, this oiler, let me read along here.
Well, an oiler, he's got to get about 2 years to get a third engineer's license. Usually it was 3 years. I don't know how it is now.
After supper, he would head straight for his bunk. He could hardly wait, sleep like a baby at night. Already he was getting back. He slid down the railing of a 10-foot ladder as gracefully as a bird dropping from a branch.
That's a crock of shit. If he slid down, he must have hit the oil on the steps. If he goes sliding down them, he'd break his neck. What the hell kind of a ship was he on? I'd like to have met that guy.
He slid down the railings of a 10-foot ladder as gracefully as a bird dropping from a branch.
Boy, he was sure graceful. He must have been a ballet dancer. Did you ever see the railings, the hand railings on the ship? You try sliding down them sometimes. Sure, from one section to another, they're 10 foot or so until you hit the bottom. If you try sliding down the banks.
What do you hit at the bottom?
You hit your ass mostly. Right on them damn old hard steel plates.
Oh, you mean you scoot on down to the floor?
Yeah. Each of you, like you start from the top of the engine room, they got a big, what they call a fiddly, where the smokestack's encased around. Well, that's in another department of the ship.
Yeah.
And then the engine room, from the where the top of the engines are, if it's on a reciprocating job, well, each one's got a different platform all the way down.
Yeah.
And you can imagine sliding down polished handrails. That's about what it amounts to.
Like a bird.
And there's steps all the way down. Like a bird. He'd have went like a bird, all right.
He let the forces of the slide carry him to the bucket of oil tied exactly to the spot his hand passed to reach the piston driving in and out of its sleeve.
A bucket of oil, huh?
Uh-huh.
But they have usually they put them in gallon cans of oil, and they got them fixed in case the ship is maneuvering a little too much. I never heard of using a bucket of oil yet.
Already he was in.
They got little oil cans. He was on a reciprocating job, all right, and you got to catch them crossheads and bearings.
Yeah.
As that thing's going around like this.
Already he was in sync with the piston's motion.
Yeah.
He'd synced in coming down the ladder.
He sunk in, all right. Boy, that guy better.
Slip, slap, slap. He hit the briefly exposed cylinder 3 times with a brush and was off again.
Oh, man, that's crazy as hell. You take and swab the pistons when they're going up and down with the brush. They use that heavy, what the hell kind of oil, cylinder oil on them. And you got on each side of that, you got a big crosshead. You got to oil each side of that and oil the main bearing down below. The one that's on the crank. And you got one of them on each side, and you got that crosshead and all to do. It takes you about, on a single reciprocating engine, it takes you 10 or 15 minutes to make a round. You just don't go slap, bang, whack.
What are you doing?
You just can't keep that in motion with that crosshead and oil it and do the same thing with the cup of the main bearing. And then on the shaft, you got to oil all them. And sometimes where you got a long crankshaft that runs away to hell out in some ships for about 300 and 400 feet, you got to go through that shaft alley and oil all them. That guy must have been on a little. Christ, couldn't have been much more than a shrimp boat. That's about all he could have been on, that I figure out.
He never turned the wrong way.
Fish trawler.
Or,
either that or a fish trawler.
He never turned the wrong way or wasted one step. He tossed himself up the ladders and.
Boy, that's some toss, I'll clue you.
And in weather, he let the heaving of the ship move him over and around the engine.
That son of a bitch was a contortionist. He was no sailor.
Maybe he should have been in that circus.
He should have been. Aerial performer or something.
As he squirted and slapped oil onto moving cups and holes.
Yeah, and then you got these two things, you know, on each side where the crosshead comes up and down the plates there. You got to keep them oiled, too. That guy was so fast, I don't know how he had done it.
At the end of his round, he slid down the ladder and eased to a stop beside the fat fireman beneath a ventilator. The ventilator ran up through the ship to the boat deck where its wide mouth opened to the wind.
That sounds like a Liberty ship to me.
Under the ventilator, the temperature was a cool 90.
Cool 90.
Slim the oiler wiped his forehead with a rag hanging from his back pocket
and the fat fireman nodded in sympathy. Slim cocked a critical ear to the heaving, sibilant engine. He didn't want any trace of pounding. The first engineer told each of the three oilers 6 quarts a watch. That's it.
That must have been a single screw. That had to be a damn Liberty ship. 6 quarts oil. You can get along on about 5 quarts of oil on one of them, but you've got a sure script to do it, or otherwise you'd have burned out barons and cross heads and all.
He'd show the stingy bastard. He'd oil with four. Slash the extra two in a good place until he had his own emergency supply.
Mm.
Then for the rest of the trip, he'd oiler with four and dump the extra two in the bilges. And she wouldn't pound a lick. Not on his watch.
That guy burned up that whole goddamn ship, I think. I felt sorry for that poor first engineer on there. He'd have to get that crew to work on all them barons, because it'd sure be pounding. Oh, man. That guy's all right. I don't know how the hell he got that book published.
Well, that's what I was telling you about.
Jesus. He's ruined the whole ship already. You're only on that, Pat?
Yeah, we're just page 48.
Yeah, damn. That ship was due for dry dock to that trip. Going for extensive repairs. Crossheads, main bearings, everything.
Now, this is one of the, I don't know who this is. Let's see. He never stepped back. One night a man came through the door with a girl. Come on, the man said, and hand over the big purse. You come on, he said, and pick it up. Thirsty, rolling from the bottom bunk, he went to the mess room in his shorts. He stepped over some guy on deck and searched through the refrigerator, then the room, the shelves, the cupboard, and looked in all the used glasses. Nothing. He tried water, but it wouldn't help. He needed whiskey, big burning jolts of it to drive away the dry, heavy pain. I don't know what that
means. Well, that sounds something like an oiler or a fireman after they hit port.
Now, they haven't hit ports yet.
They haven't.
No, they're just starting out. His eyes caught two large bottles of hot pepper sauce.
Oh, man. Delicious.
On the table. And wondered in amazement at the simplicity. And with the hand bloody in a kitchen towel, he'd been cut up and hit some glass, I remember. With the hand bloody in the kitchen towel, he unscrewed the bottle tops, dumped the contents in a pan, threw out the peppers, and drank.
The juice. He was in bad. He must have had DTs altogether.
It burned good.
All the way down.
Seared his lips. Thickened his tongue and took all the air out of his throat. And he says, you know how it's
that's the way the nigger is with moonshine. Boy, that tube burns good all the way down.
Before he got back to his bunk, he turned back to the mess room. He drank some water, then he couldn't breathe.
Yeah, that water with that hot pepper worked good. You ever try some?
You ever done that?
Yeah. I used to eat some hot peppers or something, take some ice water behind it. God damn, it burned twice as much.
It just burned out much more.
Yeah. Better to get a cup of hot coffee or tea. Whew. I don't eat no more hot peppers or anything of that style.
But you have eaten them.
Oh, yeah. I used to eat that chili in Texas, and man, that would take the hair off your stomach. Woo! Red hot chili.
In Texas?
Yeah, Texas, Mexico. Boy, they make chili that's out of this world and sure burn you up.
Just the common chili, without any addition.
Yeah, common old chili. Whew.
Well, you go ashore, you just fill up on Mexican chili, Texas chili.
I'd try it anyhow, and I got so I wouldn't try it anymore after I had a few bowls of it. Ooh, I figured out that if I kept eating that stuff, I wouldn't have no stomach left. Amen. They can sure make hot stuff.
With his bloody hand, he drank some water, then he couldn't breathe. His throat wouldn't take air. He went back to the forecastle and turned on the overhead light without hearing the grunts or stirs of the other banks in the other bunks. He went back to the mess room for more water. He brought to the forecastle a small table and brought more water and tea and ice and anything cold. Two cold bottles of ketchup cooled his throat on either side.
God damn. He must have had sideboards in there.
He brought platters of cold cuts, bread, milk, cold soothing milk around his tongue, but it wouldn't swallow. He couldn't get it down his throat. Standing in the midst of the loaves and jars and bottles and platters with milk in his mouth, he reached into a bunk and gently shook someone's bare, freckled shoulder. And so on. Now, I don't know what the...
Boy, that jerk belongs down the farm colony someplace.
What he's up to, Jack.
Jesus.
Well, take this. Toot-toot, the kid said. He's going along. At the door of the mess room. Gene Bear above the... I don't know what Gene is. He's a mate or something. Bear above the round brass buckle at his waist and with a black watch cap back on his blonde head, stood in the center of the mess room mixing an Aqua Velva aftershave lotion cocktail.
That's pretty good, I reckon. You'd have to be a goddamn wino or something to do it, you know.
Sailors were gathering half naked, pulling off gloves or wiping sleep from their eyes to look at the blue-green bottle of Aqua Velva atop a napkin holder in the center of the table, 4 ounces and nearly full.
Some of them bastards used to do that, and they'd go plumb out of their minds.
Make them crazy?
Oh, yeah. Have you ever heard of this Gus Truluck?
No.
Well, he's from Gainesville. Him and Johnny Nobles and that crowd used to drink that stuff all the time. Call it the Green Snake and so forth. Man, it'll sure drive you cuckoo.
Well, they drink it. And and they'd cut up.
But that's when you're getting get ready for the deliriums.
Oh, they were pretty far along.
Yeah. Jesus, I don't know how anybody could drink that stuff.
Would you filter it?
Huh?
Would you filter it first?
No, I seen them take it just right out of that bottle.
Good Lord.
Yeah. Aqua Velva and any aftershave lotion that got alcohol.
Look it up.
Bay rum.
Yeah. A squat AB said against the wall, "We're standing on a million bottles of beer looking at 4 ounces of sheep."
Yeah, it must have been down in the hole.
Yes.
Cargo.
I was in the table over the beer, held over that beer hole today, and saw a batch with one loose dog between us and it.
Well, they sure got that. We used to do the same thing. Just lift the few planks up on the hatch, roll a tarpaulin back, and sneak down the ladder and grab some.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And help yourself.
Amen.
One loose dog's enough. What's a dog? A plank?
No, that's what they screw down on a hatchway or something. Dog.
One loose dog's enough.
Or else they have them around the doors, too. They call them dogs. You know, the latches they pull down?
Yeah. The dog's got to be off. Look, Gene held out a tray of ice cubes for all to see. Dumping the ice in a dish towel, he showed that around, and then a ball pin hammer,
Ball peen hammer.
Ball peen, yeah.
What's that?
Well, that's one of them damn hammers that you peen things over with.
It's got the round head on the claws.
Yeah. Which brought a stir and mumbling. He crushed the bag of ice with a hammer, tested its coarseness, and beat it some more. He lined up his condiments and tools, limes, sugar, a spoon, a quart fruit jar with a lid.
He was making it go put in a batch of bay rum by the sound of that. Wait a minute, get a cigarette.
I remember they used to do that down the canal zone before they put the medicine in the bay rum.
They'd even get a wash tub and fill it up with ice, lemons, limes, grapefruit, everything, and dump bottles of bay rum in. You could get the bay rum down there then for about 50 cents a quart. And then after that, they started to medicate the bay rum. That ended most of that.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
That bay rum had oil on it, though, didn't it?
Yeah, they'd be a little bit of oil. But the bay rum they made down in the canal zone years back was pure bay rum.
Oh, was it?
Huh?
Is that right?
Yeah. And then after they found out people was drinking it, they medicated it. But still some of them drank it.
But that was pure to start with.
Hmm.
Well, he stuck a water glass into the mound of crushed ice, squeezed the limes into a jar, added sugar, fingered a taste to the tip of his tongue, and gave a satisfied smack. He showed around the aqua velva like a picture in his palm.
Still aqua velva.
Gentlemen, he said, and unscrewed the cap. He measured half into the jar, then raising his hands in a gesture of resignation and abandonment, he dumped in the rest. You see, it tastes good. Delicious. Someone else goes like that.
Mm.
All eyes followed the jar as Gene shook it violently and professionally until it frosted. Before unscrewing the lid, he rubbed his cold hands on the pale, transparent skin of his stomach and closed his eyes.
Good.
And then he led them out to the number one hatch with a brimming cold glass. And some sat on deck, some on the hatch, some stood at the railing. After settling himself on the hatch, Gene raised the glass to them. He nibbled the cold rim and raised his eyes heavenward. A smile spread his lips. "That's the wrong kind," Gus at the railing mumbled his first word since drinking the pepper sauce. Gene's eyes never raised. "Wrong kind of pepper sauce? Alcohol. Listen to the pepper sauce connoisseur. It'll blind you," Gus said, not moving his pink, peeling, swollen lips. "Give him some more of that water. Wait, turn the heater off." Gene's muscles quickened with laughter beneath the pale, blue-veined skin. He slowly drank half the glass and blew his lung-warmed ass through pursed lips. "Blind me? Why, it wouldn't dare." "Put some more in it, don't you?" "Ha!" Gus's mouth opened wide in spite of himself. You think I couldn't go blind?" Gene asked. "You think being blind would curl me up? I know a blind man. I could be a blind man, easy." Gene slipped off the hatch and stood with the watch cap pushed back and clogs on his feet. "Who would like some?" He held out the glass, turning and questioning. Anybody else think you could go blind?" "I could." A short man with silky black hair over his chest and shoulders and arms said, "Shit, I can be anything." And reached for the glass, but his hand closed on air. "You can't be it on my stuff, Blackie.
get your own, Gene said, and went ahead and finished it.
Jesus. That was some bunch, all right. As many of them went blind drinking that goddamn shaving lotion, and some of them even took the that wood alcohol and strained it through bread and that kind of crap. But a lot of them went blind, I'll clue you. Hey.
Well, now that was pretty good performance, Dorian.
Yeah, that was overdoing it. I've seen some characters, but that one there was it.
Why do your characters do?
Huh? Well, they done things, something like that, but they didn't go through all that performance.
Well, how'd they do it?
Huh? They just drink that aqua velva and you'd pick them up and throw them in their bunk. They didn't perform too long after they had a few shots of that crap, especially in the heat.
Yeah,
they used to get some of them real alcoholics aboard ship and dry out. You'd have to get them dried out in a few days or you'd be doing all their work for them.
Yeah.
And then the minute you'd hit port, you'd sure want to get rid of them fast.
Yeah. Any port.
Mm. Sometimes you've shoved them off in the hospital. Ew.
Well, they wouldn't allow whiskey on board ship then.
Yeah, we was when you become an officer, you're allowed so much whiskey, say 3 or 4 cases. They get it out of bond for you.
Mm-hmm.
At whatever port you're in, the captain's supposed to sign for it, but most of the time you can get it yourself. But the crew ain't supposed to be able to bring it on board themselves. That used to kind of cramp me, because every time there was a holiday or something, the crew always had whiskey. They'd stash it somewhere. Once in a while, they'd hit a ship where there'd be some stew pigeon running up telling the first engineer what his crew was doing down below. But me, I always knew they had a bottle down there, so it never worried me. Unless they overdone themselves. I had a kid, a little Polack kid from Baltimore, used to come up and run up and tell me everything that went on down below. And I'd come down, and behind the blackboard, they'd have a, right next to the boiler, they'd have a coffee pot and all set up. And they'd have a jug there. I'd say, now you better give me a goddamn slug of that juice or I'm going to turn yous all in. And they looked at me, how the hell did you know? I said, Christ, I got a bird that tells me everything. Then when we got back into Baltimore, I fired his ass. Because when you have a stew pigeon on one of them ships, the chief told me, he said, George, he used to let us know everything. I said, that's why I'm letting him go. And he looked at me and says, why? I said, when you hit a stew pigeon on one of these ships, I says, he'll go above you and go to the office someday, and your ass will be gone, too. I left that little punk right out and didn't bother him until we hit that next port. Used to bring me up different books to read. I say, okay, thanks. When I got in the port, I sure remembered that little punk.
Well, how'd you leave him?
I fired him. The union come aboard to raise hell with me. And I didn't want to say nothing about it. I just wanted to get him to get the hell off of that ship. So after they kept pressuring me, I told him, I said, now listen, I didn't want to do nothing to that punk. I said, but he's been stool pigeoning to me. He come up and put himself to come to my room every other day or so and tell me of everyone down below there, what they're doing, if they have a drink on the job and this and that. This guy says to me, is that right? I says, that's sure right. Ask the little punk. They took his papers away for 90 days that time. I guess it might have taught him a little lesson not to squeal on your other buddies. I could never stand a stew pigeon. Because once you start listening to them, you ain't got no goddamn job there, because the rest of the crew hate you, hates him, if they get him ashore, they'll kill his ass.
You mean they'll really get after him?
Oh, yeah, they'll kill the son of a bitch. There's one thing that don't work on a ship is a stool pigeon when they find it out.
Well, they can't keep from finding it out, can they?
Mm-hmm. Well, they never knew where I was getting that information from.
But they would find out.
That day. And I'll bet you that little bastard got away from Baltimore fast.
He left town, huh?
Yeah. The crew told me, why the hell didn't you let it? I was keeping it covered because I was afraid something might happen. If the crew knew before he got off of there, they might have killed him on the ship. I figured, shit. I just tell the union, but the union turned them into the crew, practically. They all knew who it was. I bet you he didn't drink around Baltimore in any of the dives. Man.
Well, George, this fellow with the aftershaving lotion.
Mm.
Now he's putting on a show for him. It don't hurt him. It don't in here. He just putting on a show.
That's about what it looks like. Vaudeville act.
Well, ain't that common?
Yeah. No, that ain't so common on the ships.
Well, I mean off the ship.
Well, once in a while you get performers like that, but that don't go on every ship.
Well, I mean off the ship.
Off the ship.
Yeah.
Well, off the ship, there's a lot of them that drinks this aqua. You can go up to the courthouse square there someday and see a lot of them that drink aqua velva.
Well, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when you go into, you know, to the bar. And
oh, he's a performer in the bar, too. I imagine he is.
Yeah, he won't drink aqua velva in the bar.
No, I wouldn't think so, but when they run out of it, then the craving a drink while they'll hit the aqua velva.
Yeah. But when he's in the bar and they all get feeling pretty good, he'll start performing somewhere other morning.
Mm. Yeah, some of them are born performers.
How they do it?
Geez, I don't know. I couldn't act like one. I know I done a lot of performing when I was drunk myself, but not in that style.
Well, how'd you do it?
Usually we'd get into an argument or something and start a free-for-all. Then when the cops came, all the damage had to be paid for. You either paid for it there or you paid it before a judge.
Well, how'd you do your free-for-all?
Well, one would start there's two different crews in there. One would start picking on somebody, and all of a sudden, before you know it, the whole place would be fighting each other. One crew to the other. Used to be some wild times in the old days.
How far back is that?
Oh, Christ. Even during the Second World War, there was. Often, when an English ship would come in, an American ship, come in the port, they somehow or other always get into a damn battle. Somebody would say, hi, Yank. Some wise jerk would say, hello, you limey bastard, or something. That would halfway start something.
And then what happened?
Then chairs, stools, and all would start going tossing around. Be the Yanks against the limeys. I don't know why the hell they never did agree, but they never have it even up until today.
But they never hit each other.
They didn't. Like hell they didn't. They used to carry them out. Is it Navy police and military police and all used to be around pulling them out.
Did you ever get carried out?
A couple of times. I've been knocked out cold. Amen. Years back, even when we were sailing in Hamburg and Bremen and them places before the Second World War, that you'd go over there and there's always jams wherever you went.
In the bar?
Yeah. In them days, all the bars over there had United States names, you know, like the Texas Bar and Baltimore Bar and all that kind of baloney, all up and down the reefer bomb. Nevada Bar, every state, they'd have a name for it over there in the bar.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. That was a wild place, old Germany.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. You could go there them days and get cocaine, any damn thing you wanted, right in them bars.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's wide open, huh?
Yeah. Always get dope.
Nobody bothered him.
I'd imagine the police was looking for him, but they never did. It wasn't like it is today.
Yeah.
I've met many a dope fiend on a ship, but oh, most of them can keep it undercover.
Oh, can they?
Until they start running out.
Yeah.
That's when they get bad.
Well, what I'm interested in one of them free falls. I just can't quite picture that.
But you got the same thing going on even in these bars here. Somebody gets into an argument with some friend and all of a sudden the whole bar's into it. That goes on now. If you don't believe me, ask Peggy, because I often get into them too.
Right here in Gainesville?
Yeah. You can be sitting there minding your business, for Christ's sake, and somebody will haul off and take a poke at you when the fight starts.
Oh, really?
I guess they figure, to hell with him, he ain't in it. We got to get him in it, too. Jesus. You sat over at my house some time there for, oh, say, 5 or 6 hours. And somewhere in one of them bars, within 3 or 4 hours, you'll hear the police going from one bar to the other bar.
So you know what's happening?
Yeah, just about. They had a fight, and you'll hear the ambulance coming along. Jesus.
Oh, they even have to take the ambulance.
Yeah, because a lot of people get hurt. Man, that's crazy around Gainesville now. There's a place there they call Cason's Corner. I don't know if you know. We pass it going out here. It's right across on the Kincaid Road. I'll bet you every couple of days they pick somebody up there that's been knifed to beaten to hell.
In a brawl?
And half the time, a lot of them bounce in and get into it, too. 5 or 6 couples fighting over nothing.
Couples?
Yeah.
Women get in it, too, huh?
God, woman and all. That's the nuttiest place I've seen. Gainesville has gone nuts entirely. Sometime, if you come down and spend an afternoon, this usually happens from Friday night until Saturday night, and you'll hear a goddamn police call from one place to the other right on that road where I live. All night long that goes on. They keep threatening to close the places up, but they never do.
They got it.
That's a lively little spot.
Como's.
That's Como's. Right on the Kincaid Road.
Yeah.
Right,
Cason's right on the Kincaid Road. It used to be Pete's Halls years back.
I know where that is.
And the Oyster Bar is where Como's is. Yeah. In the old days, that Oyster Bar was tougher than it is even to today. That was a tough place. Knocked down, free for all.
Well, George, I just can't picture it. How it starts. How would it start?
Christ, they start damn easy. Some guy brings a girl and some other guy tries to make her and stuff like that. Before you know it, they start, and then their friends get into it, and then everybody's punching everybody else. It's nutty, but that's the way they go. I try to get over in the corner and sit down and watch it. But sometimes I get into it.
Still?
Yeah. Try to keep my mouth shut. Even just, I used to tell Peggy, now just sit there and let that go on. The hell with it. Make, pay no attention.
Well, Peggy's with you.
I've seen Peggy get knocked down a few times. And all you got to do is bump her and she falls over. Oh, man. You'd be surprised if things have happened around that little burg. I'm getting so I'm going to keep out of the bar. I'm getting too old for that business.
Well, they ought to have...
I do pretty good. I get a hold of a cue stick and go to work on a couple of skulls. Oh, man.
Well, you'd brain them that way, George.
If I'm going to get hurt, somebody's going to get hurt, too.
Well, a cue stick now, you don't hit with a little end.
I was sitting there doing nothing. This is just, 2 months ago. And a kid, he was all doped up, come
up
and lay the knife across my throat. And if I'd have got excited, he'd have cut my goddamn throat.
And what'd you do?
I just raised my head and looked at him. I said, well, punk, you made a mistake this time, but I'll get you later on.
Look over that way, so wait and see.
Yeah.
Your face.
Oh, he actually cut you?
No, he was going, and I just looked up at him. I didn't make a move. Peggy was sitting right there beside me.
Uh-huh.
Peggy, leave him alone. I told her, don't worry about it. When he put that, I knew he wouldn't cut me as long as I was talking. When he put that knife back in his pocket, he says, you go get me. I said, you're goddamn right, I'm going to get you. He says, come on outside. So I went outside with him. On my way out, I picked up a cue stick and jammed it right. I knew damn well that little bastard would be waiting there beside the door. I jammed that around the door and knocked the knife out of his hand, and I was going to beat his brains out. But he ran across the street and started to throw rocks and everything else.
And then somebody called the police.
Yeah, and they picked him up and brought him to me to see if I want to press charges. They put him in McClenny or someplace. They took him over to the med center because they got him before for being half cracked or something. But now he's loose again. Just as soon as he starts getting on weed or dope, well, he's going to do the same thing to somebody else.
Well, now, you knew he was going to be there at the door waiting for you.
Yeah, I could read that. Because he wouldn't have invited me out if he
just
didn't.
For a nice free-for-all, he...
They picked up the knife after I knocked it out. Como, the owner there, picked it up. I think he was more worried about me breaking that cue stick than he was me. Yeah. Told me, George, give me back that cue stick. The police are coming. Usually when I get riled and get a cue stick in my hand, they all clear out the way. But when Peggy gets one in her hand, that's one thing you can never tell who's going to get hit. It might be your best friend.
Well, Peggy gets a cue stick, too.
Yeah, that's the first thing she has for. And she can't even swing one. She'll hit anybody in the way. She knocked out this is Nobles. He's a character. But I was getting in a fight. This guy is about 6'2" or 6'3". And I was getting in a fight with him over this. You might know Cliff Wilson. They call him the Whistler. Yeah, you've heard of him around the joints. Well,
Carpenter?
Yeah, that's
sure.
Him.
Yeah, well, I had a big drunk out with him not long ago.
We've been sort of empties for years. We just got kind of friendly lately. Mm-hmm. And this big Regan used to hang with him. He still does, I guess. They pretty near work together.
They call each other brothers or cousins.
Yeah,
or
but they're no relation.
No.
So I used to get mad because he'd whistle at the... This is only a few years back. I was about 62 then, 63. I'd tell Peggy, I'm sick of that son of a bitch. You put a quarter on the jukebox and that bastard whistles a song and you can't hear nothing. So I'd go up and I'd say, well, I know I got to hit Regan to get at him, and I'd be half drunk and I'd take a poke at that big Regan.
Yeah, he's a big mug.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
But he respects me because every time he'd hit, knock me down, I'd get up, start punching again. He knocked me down flat 3 times one night.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's when old Johnny Nobles and some of them got up to give me a hand.
Uh-huh.
And while Johnny Nobles was coming over to give me a hand, Peggy got a cue stick, swung it, and knocked Johnny cold. He told her, he said, I've never come to help George again. Oh, man. But that Cliff Wilson's the one that used to stab the jams in every place he went. I used to be so mad at him. I know damn well I could even beat him as old as I am today. He's kind of wiry in his way. That big Regan, I couldn't quite get through to him.
Well, Cliff Wilson, how'd he get...
He's a little son of a bitch when it comes to starting a fight. He'd get in this place, and somebody would put money in the jukebox, or else he'd go up and try to make somebody else's deal and all that kind of stuff.
On purpose.
Yeah, he's
just
a real...
He don't want to make the girl, he won't start a fight?
No, he'll make the girl if he can. By that time, the other guy's pretty mad and the fight starts. You know Cliff?
No.
He does.
You know him?
Yeah.
Son of a bitch can cause more trouble in a few minutes in the bar than anybody I ever see.
Is that right?
He never misses.
I just had it. I mean, he, good Lord, what a drinker he is. And he won't let you go. He's after something.
Yeah.
You have to beg your pardon and leave there if you don't want to get in the fight.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah. But that, when I'm sitting at the bar now, that's on vision of a whistle. He tells me, George, if you don't ride your bicycle around, I won't whistle.
Now, what do you mean by that?
Yeah, I used to come in drunk in the oyster bar and ride the bicycle around the pool tables and out again. He's out of pure meanness. I knew they didn't like that. That's a spalama. He said, if you don't ride your bicycle around, I won't whistle.
Now, did he want you to ride it around?
No, he'd tell me if I didn't ride around, he wouldn't whistle.
Gentleman's agreement there.
Yeah.
That is, you didn't want him to whistle.
Yeah, I sure didn't. God damn, when he whistled, you couldn't hear nothing but his whistle. It would drown out the jukebox and anybody talking or anything else.
Really?
He sure got a high-pitched whistle.
I hadn't heard him whistle.
I used to tell him, Cliff, that gets in my ears, it sounds like buzz bombs dropping. Knock it off. I'd get mad. And every time, he always has some big guy with him. He never travels alone. But when he travels alone, he's kind of quiet.
Yeah, what was the other guy's name?
Regan. Big Regan. Yeah. Yeah, he's about 6'3".
Yeah. They were thick as fleas.
Yeah, they sure was.
Hell, they hit, first thing they did was hit me up for a 6-pack of beer.
Yeah, they were always bum, and they always got money.
They still bum.
Yeah, they still bum. Cliff can have a pocketbook full of money, but he'll still bum somebody for beer. She's as bad as you ever seen.
Is he cheap or just trying to beat you?
Just trying to beat you. And cheap, too.
Yeah, they make good money. They're carpenters and builders.
Yeah, they get $5, $6, $7 an hour. Still, they turn around and bum you for a drink.
Yeah.
Go buy a beer. I just tell them, hell no.
That's
But I usually buy everybody at that bar a beer. But not him. I wouldn't buy him. I ran a bill up there in the oyster bar, and 3 or 4 come in that I knew that were broke. So I told the girl behind the bar, just run a bill up and I'll pay for their drinks.
But they weren't deadbeats.
No, I knew them off and on. In fact, I just got in there when they was going to throw this Ray Scott out. You might know him, too.
had him shut off for some reason. I come in and Ray's sitting there all by himself. This guy Virgil, I guess he was a friend of the barmaid. He was telling Ray, "Get out that door." I said, "Ray, sit down, have a beer with me." And I got her that job in there, and I've known her for about 20-odd years.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I even helped take care of her kids once. So she says, "George, we just ordered him out." I said, "I know you did, but he's a friend of mine." She says, "Well, all right, then." She told Virgil, "Don't bother him." So me, him, and Peggy, and a couple more, we were drinking along there. She told me, "You break all rules here." I said, "Well, that's what they're made for, the break." Yeah.
And you've known her all this time?
Yeah. I was, you know, when I know I'm going over there, I'll just take a couple of dollars in my pocket because I never know what's going to happen. And I leave my wallet at home, and I've always got a few hundred bucks in my wallet.
Oh, you have?
All the time.
God Almighty. God Almighty.
Sometimes I never know when I'm going to need it for something. But when I get over there and I know I'm going to drink, I get rid of that goddamn wallet in the house and leave it there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you do? Just run up a bill, pay it the next day?
Yeah. You either pay it that night or the next day, and I come back with enough to pay that. Because, boy, many a person's been rolled in them joints.
Oh, God. You hadn't run into Harry Cruz in any of those bars, have you?
Harry Cruz. That goddamn name's awful familiar.
Yeah. He's...
There's a bunch of them works over the university.
Well, he lives out in the Hawthorne area, I think, and comes into town Harry once or twice a month.
I must know him. I know all the characters.
He started to fight over at 12 East, guy. He's telling you. Got to go and punch a waiter out. You know, the waiter in a black uniform and
yeah.
everything.
Yeah. Harry Cruz.
I wouldn't want to tangle with
him.
He'd long and like you. Well, George, what else do you do besides ride your bicycle?
I'm about to stay home for a pastime. Take care of the garden, I think. I think it'd be better in the end. Getting too old for this bullshit.
Well, he whistles, and he whistles and drowns out the jukebox.
Yeah, that's when I get mad and the fight starts. But in the last year or two, he's been pretty nice to me. He ain't whistled ever since I tacked him and Big Hoosier together.
Oh, you took them both on.
I knew I had to get the big guy to get to him, but I didn't get to the big guy. He knocked me down about three times, that Big Regan.
Yeah. Oh, Regan knocked you down?
Yeah. I'd have killed the other little bastard, Cliff. And Regan knew that. And Regan knows why I went after him. I knew I had to somehow get rid of Regan to get at Cliff.
Oh, so you got to Regan first?
Yeah. I said, well, I'll tackle that bastard as big as
him. What'd he do? Just push you off?
He just boom, and I'd just ride along with the blow and get up again and start all over. After three times, Peggy got excited and got the cue stick.
Hit you.
No, another guy coming up to give me a hand. He's going to hop on Regan and Cliff, Johnny Nobles. Peggy took the cue stick and hit Johnny and knocked him out cold. Poor old Johnny says to me, "I'll never help you again, George." I don't blame him.
You never had any a little free fall like that on when you was on them ships.
Oh, they always used to be a little trouble, but Christ, the way that guy explains it, never seemed to be that way.
Well, I know, but the way you had it there in in them places. Did you ride around the pool tables with your bicycle?
Oh yeah, I used to do that in the old days just for the fun of it.
In Hamburg?
Oh, no, I never had a bicycle in them days.
Well, what'd you do then?
There was one place in Hamburg they called, it was like a big pavilion. So Someday the name will come to me. And they had horses and donkeys in there. And you could ride them around the ring for 1 mark. That was, oh shit, that was 25, 26 some days. I used to go and ride them around that rink there half drunk and fall off in the sawdust and all that kind of bullshit. And you can drink beer all around the rink.
Yeah.
People there, I forget the name of that damn place. I heard they ate the horses during the Second World War.
Yeah,
that was up what they call the Reaper Bomb in Germany.
Yeah.
I used to love Germany once.
Really?
Yeah. Used to be able to have a ball there.
Well, what did you do when you had a ball there, John, George?
And get drunk every night.
And do what?
Well, I can't tell you the right out plane.
Well, you just didn't. You just
you know, always pick up somebody and go home with them, raise hell. I was just one of the buys in them days.
Friendly people there.
Used to run in the characters with different, like American Betty and Texas Rose and all kinds of douchebags like that. In them days, I used to pass a boot on the table, and they'd sing songs, you know, with a big boot and a big full, glass boot full of beer, and you'd just pass along, keep on singing with the crowd. Just have some good times.
Well, now, yeah. Well, now, I can understand that.
Yeah,
because that singing, they could really sing.
Yeah,
I mean, they love to sing. And you could just join in German or English or anything.
I only knew a couple of their songs, though.
Yeah. I used to be able to sing one or two of them, too.
Yeah. I used to sing that Trink song they had.
Yeah.
I forget the other ones. I used to know a Paddock, the Lieber Augustine. I lost track of that even.
Yes, I have too.
I never forgot the Trink song. Oh.
Yeah.
It all get there and start singing that song and drunk to the ears.
Well, now when you sing, you don't fight.
Nope. Just after you get through singing, the fight starts. By that time, you know you're getting pretty drunk. Oh, man.
Shoot. He had a glass boot full of beer.
Yeah, well, that used to be in a lot of places in Germany, they'd do that. Like a whole bunches together, four or five, say. They'd fill up one of them goddamn boots, would be about that tall, about that wide. Everybody'd sip out of that boot.
It's like two pitchers, isn't it?
Yeah, just about. Sing and laugh.
Huh. Take turns buying?
They'd say, pass the boot.
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody'd take a turn, buy a boot of beer. Ah.
They had good beer over there.
Oh, that was the Hippodrome where they had the horses.
Mm-hmm.
I went back after the Second World War was over. There wasn't a goddamn thing left there. All the bars I knew was blowing out.
Oh.
Yeah, up on Erichstrasse Street and around there. The place we called Uncle Max's was blowing out. There wasn't a goddamn thing left there. They should have hit Germany, I mean.
You ever make the Oktoberfest? That's a big drink out.
Yeah.
Now, look at here. this is in Joetown, and they've been on, you see, they call it, they just make up a name.
Joetown.
Books like this. Johnstown. They've been on the, you know, on the shore leave. And the kid was touring the deck when he heard the oarlocks coming. He heard no voices until Slim the oiler charged up the gangway and hopped on deck. "Send him up," Slim shouted. "Send the punk up." Slim clenched and unclenched his fist and couldn't keep his feet still. Blackie's white face appeared over the railing. His head lolled on the neck as limber as a loose string. "What's the matter with you guys? Come on now." I guess Blackie's saying that. He wobbled a grin at Slim, kindly and pleading. His arm waved in front of him. "Hey, kid, what's the matter with you guys? Can't take a little..." Slim knocked his arm aside and decked him. Slim knocked his arm aside and decked him. Was that knocking?
Knocked him out flat in his ass. He was decked.
Blackie lay on his side, cursing, and pushing at the deck. The kid leaned over to help him as the rest of the bumboat. What's a bumboat?
Oh, that's the boat that brings you back and forth from shore. They call them bumboats.
Bumboat load came aboard. They came kicking. The first foot hit Blackie's straightening arms and rolled him down again. "Hey now." The second sank to the instep in Blackie's stomach. A knee caught the kid's ribs, knocking him back against the housing. Booted feet flew around his head. Set white faces hung above the kicking feet. "Let me at him," Pee-wee cried, kicking the kicking legs. Pee-wee's yellow tie was missing. His shirt flapped loose, torn in back from collar to tail. "Let me." Rolling along the deck, Blackie cussed and tried to gain his feet. They kicked him back down and crowded the narrow deck walk to get at him. Gene and Gus brought up the rear. Gene was laughing. The kid got to his feet in time to see Blackie spilled backward down a ladder, arms and legs flying in every direction. On the next deck, Blackie stumbled to his feet in a weaving crouch. "Come on," he cried. "The more you kick my iron balls, the shinier they get."
He must have been a tough... Jesus.
Yeah, that must have been old Frisco Blackie. Oh, Jesus. I didn't know they made him that tough. He was real tough. The more you kick my shiny balls. You ever get kicked in with a shiny ball? That's when you got 2 acres and you can't build nothing on them. Can't build a thing on them. Oh, boy. Amen. Hey, we'll never go get that table finished today.
No.
Sitting here. Got a fairly good start. We got the legs made.
We got to get a little plank or two on there so we can eat, have a sandwich, have a picnic. Well.
The sun's cold.
Blackie must have
gotten
somebody hacked off, huh?
Yeah. That was a beauty. I wonder what the hell's the name of the guy that wrote that book?
Kirkpatrick.
I used to stay with a bastard. His name was Kirkpatrick. He originated from Philadelphia, but I wonder if that's the same crazy bastard.
This one come from Arkansas.
Now, this chair come from Philadelphia. His name was Kirkpatrick. He used to drink the same whiskey they called him Patrick. I forget what the hell the name of him was. Patrick something. He'd say, "I want a drink of my bottle."
Well, now you look at the other side of it, George. You see, that's all he has them doing.
Yeah.
Just going to the bar. That's all they do in this book.
Mm.
But now you see, you've done a whole lot of things besides go to the bar.
Yeah. I go here and there. Amen.
You see, he didn't get on the same banana boat.
Them banana boats were a crazy bunch. Ew, United Fruit.
Yeah. But see, he never got stuck on them things and make the same run all the time.
Yeah, I'd change from one ship to another.
Change from one ship to another. And go all these places.
But I sure lost by it. If I'd have stayed in one company, I'd have a lovely pension coming up. See, but I just want to see different places. Some of them jerks have run that United Fruit all their life. And so then these oil companies, they've done the same thing. Stayed on them all their life.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, they're better off than I am. But
now.
Yeah.
But they haven't got much to show for it.
Yeah. I don't think they still live as happy as I am. I ain't got nothing, I don't worry about it. Ah. I always keep a little on hand, you know, just in case it rains. Whew. I ain't worked for that guy for the last 2 weeks. I'm waiting for him to pay me what he owes me.
Oh, he's had, but still hasn't paid you.
Not yet. He'll pay me, but it takes him so goddamn long.
Yeah. I kind of took a liking to
him. Yeah, he's all right.
Except he can't keep it up. And
Well, he comes and gets me when he wants the houses fixed, cleaned out. He told me, he says, God damn, George, I can hire a kid for $250. I said, you go hire that kid and just get off my back. Then after, I used to work with him years ago in all them low rental houses and shit. Not with him. He was just the carpenter there. And he told me the last job I'd done, he said, geez, you know, it had taken them kids 3 days to do what you done today. I told him, that's why the price is a half a dollar more than them punks. Amen. I can't get around fast, but I know how to do the work. And if I don't get out there and do that table, there'll be no picnic table this week.
Let me tell you, he got to go home, and yeah. He been reading on this book like I
yeah.
Tell him about that Rio thing.
Oh, yeah, that was kind of crazy. That's where we pulled in the Buenos Aires, and this is in Rio de Janeiro, you know, and there was a limey ship in there, and there was this big place, a drinking place, and they called it the Club Mexico. And the limeys had taken over the whole place. Every time a Yank would come in and get drunk or something, they'd take and knock the shit out and throw his ass out. So the crew come back and told me about it, and I says, you sure that's what all that happens there? They says, yeah, we can't even go in to get a drink, and it's a nice place. So I went down and got a hold of the goddamn owner and asked him, could I hire this place for a couple of odd days?
How the hell do you know? Just give me the price. The price was, way up in the pesos. I don't know, it was about 5,600 pesos or some goddamn thing like that. So I says, how much is that in American money? He says, $2,700. So I told him, I went back and got the money off the old man. I had plenty coming then because we'd been out over 9 months or more. And I hired that club. And I told the owner, now you get rid of every goddamn limey in here or we'll kill them. And I said, no, I hired this place for 2 days. No limeys allowed. We were drunk for about 2 days in that place. That was the first time I swore I walked through a garden of tits without even getting a little.
How'd that happen, girl?
I got too drunk. I lost all interest. Every place you walked, there was some dame there, and laying on the rugs. Jesus. They were all over the place. The crew had a ball all right, but I didn't.
It was just the crew of the ship there.
Yeah, the whole crew.
Free drinks and everything.
Mm. I had the whole damn shooting match for a couple of days.
Did the dames go with it?
Oh, yeah, they hung wherever the drinks were, and the of course, the jerks had to pay them whatever they wanted for shacking up and stuff. Man, that was some mean days. I bet you that limey crew sure hated us. I've done some pippy things in my time. That time, money didn't mean nothing. It was during the Second World War.
Mm-hmm.
And every foreign port we was in, we was getting 100% on top of our wages.
Good Lord.
Yeah. In any mine areas, we still got 100%. Oh, man. It was coming in by the buckets full.
Did you have any fights at that place that 2 days, John?
Oh, somebody'd get in some squabble. You'd always have squabbles.
Well, you had to get your money's worth. You had to do it all.
Had to enjoy yourself.
Yeah. Well, now, but nobody had to pay for the drinks. That's
certain drinks you had to pay for. The beer was free.
I see.
But the booze you paid for and the woman you paid for.
Yes.
That didn't go with the drinks.
That was all above the $27.
Yeah, like somebody wanted a whiskey or something, they paid for that. But the beer was free, because that's what he told me. The beer is free, but the booze you pay for. That is above the 2,700 berries, which was quite a few pesos then. Then they turned around and named the money something else after a while. Fiestas or some goddamn thing.
Hmm.
Couldn't keep up with their money at all.
Well, now... In them days, when I was on the Merchant Marine and that Liberty ship,
that's what that sounds like. That jerk was on the Liberty ship.
These
buckets of oil and stuff like that, it don't come to my mind. They never had it that way.
The Merchant Marine had it pretty good. They had staterooms. Some of them. And I remember we'd walk through the gangways and just sort of peep in.
Mm. But the crew still had a bunk and a bunk up top and that kind of crap. And then it got so that they'd mix the niggers in with you, like oilers and firemen and stuff. For years, we kept them out of them operations. But now, that's why I wouldn't even bother trying to ever go to sea. I ain't got nothing against a nigger. I just can't stand them. That's all. I can't stand the bastard smell.
Well, now all this stuff that you had, see, and I remember one time the crew, we called them, they got along so well. They had such rations that these GIs...
Yeah.
They get the lowdown. You see, they're smart too.
Yeah,
they went in and stole a half a dozen hams out of the.
Well, I don't blame them goddamn bit.
And I'm telling you, they had a hot time on there. Yeah. I didn't have a fight or anything like that.
Yeah.
But things were getting pretty hot there for a while. But you see, the crew were doing so well, and the GIs living on powdered eggs.
Yeah, K rations and C rations, that shit.
Yeah. but see, by that time, now let me see. Oh, God damn. By this time, World War II, the Merchant Marine they'd living well.
Yeah, living high on the hog. Yeah.
And they didn't have to be on a Liberty ship, any ship they was on.
Yeah, it was all the same. Yeah.
They got treatment, didn't they?
Oh yeah, but it took a long time to get that treatment.
How'd you get it?
Through the unions.
How'd you do it?
Going on strike.
What'd you do?
I done the same thing. I got strike cards at home yet. That
you
I saved. Strike cards. When we went on strike.
What's that?
You had to put in so many hours on strike, picketing.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the only thing that made the merchant marine was some strikes. And not sail that damn ship until you got your rights.
Yeah.
Otherwise, years back, they'd take and throw scum on the table, and the officers used to get the best, and the crew got the shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. But today, it's all different. They all eat alike.
All eat alike.
Oh, yeah, that's been going on strikes and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And the Standard Oil and them were worse than any of them.
Yeah.
And now they're way above the unions. But it ain't no good. It's still a company union. But they'll pay you 10% more to stay out of the unions.
I'll be damned. What's that?
Standard Oil.
Oh, will they?
Yeah. They have a company union
yeah.
that you can belong to. But a regular union, they don't want you in it.
Well, now you said that they knew you all up and down the
yeah.
East Coast and
yeah,
West Coast.
Yeah, they knew me for an agitator all up and down the East and West Coast.
Well, how'd you agitate?
I'd go on a ship and start a riot with the goddamn captain and the company. I had so many names that sometimes I couldn't use them all. I went under the name of Haley Anderson, Wild, and every other damn thing.
Are you ship out under different names?
Yeah. Oh, man. Then after when they put the food on the table, I'd take it up to the captain and say, "Can you eat this shit?" He'd get mad and have me logged and everything else. That's when the unions were starting up.
Uh-huh.
This L.O. Nolan and all them, we're the ones that really originated them unions. We all done the same goddamn thing. We'd get on them ships and raise holy hell with the company and the captains and all. They'd tell me, "Get down below where you belong." Then we got the crews worked up where they'd start striking.
Mm-hmm.
So, years back, the crews were afraid of all that shit. They was afraid they'd be logged. I got logged two for one so much that I'd never draw any pay, hardly. Every time you'd do something, they'd log you. But we overworked that out. But them days, them logs used to go to the Merchant Marine Hospital. And that's what kept them hospitals going. And then all of a sudden, the Coast Guard took them over. So they're no more really, they call them Marine Hospitals, but they ain't. Because, Christ, the postmen go there, Coast Guard go there, everybody but the merchant man.
But you got logged.
Yeah. I get logged two for one every time I done something wrong.
Two for one?
Yeah. 2 days pay for 1 day.
You mean, whatever, they paid you $10 a day, they'd log you $20?
Yeah.
Is that it?
Yeah. You get logged, and then when the trip was over, they'd see how much your log was. Crazy, you might be logged $100 or more. They take that out of your pay and turn it into the Merchant Marine Hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what got me mad was them damn Merchant Marine Hospital, because they threw it open to everybody.
They turned into public health?
Yeah, it's about the same thing. They turned it in, the postman can go there. A sailor can still go there, but if he's 90 days, after 90 days, you're not allowed in that hospital.
It's the end of Channel 1 Right, and continuation to visit with George Wild and Wade this Sunday, the 5th of May, 74. The end of Channel 1 Right, and a continuation to visit with George Wild and Wade this Sunday, the 5th of May, 74. the end of Channel 1 Right and a continuation visit with George Wild and Wade this Sunday, the 5th of May, 74.